John chapter 1. And we begin reading at the very first verse. John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Verse 11. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. We'll end our reading at that verse. We'll keep the Word of God open before us at that place, and let's unite our hearts together in prayer. Father, we thank Thee for Thy goodness to us in allowing us to be present in the house of the Lord today. We thank You for this Christmas Sunday and for what it has meant to us in this house throughout many years together. We thank You for bringing friends and family home into our midst again from where they've been in different parts of the world. And we pray that this will be a happy time for them and their families. We do pray that You would comfort those who mourn. We think of those for whom the Christmas season will be poignant, and it will certainly have scars for them. And we pray that Thou would give them grace to help in time of need, especially those who have lost their loved ones this year. We do thank You for this word that Philip brought. We pray that Thou will guide him in his work, and may he and Sharon and the children know the help of the Lord as they come to the end of one year, and particularly into the beginning of another year of Christian service. Bless the reading of Thy word to us now. We pray that Thou wilt apply it mightily to us, and particularly the preaching of it. And we pray that Thou wilt prepare the ground of our hearts and minds for the receiving of Thy word now, and grant that the preacher may have the power of the Holy Spirit to preach the word of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Many are the events recorded in Scripture that have impacted the world in a most enduring way. We think of the creation itself. Way back, the record of that given in Genesis chapter 1. And this world continues right up to now as a result of the creatorial power of the Lord then. We think of the flood that destroyed the world in the days of Noah. What a mighty flood that was. Not a localized flood, as modernists would affirm, or atheists would put to us. But the Bible tells us that the flood came and destroyed them all, according to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Tower of Babel was another event that we can see the effects of it in the world today with the different languages and dialects throughout the world. We think of the Exodus. Whenever God worked a mighty miracle in bringing those 2 million or so people out of Egypt, and then came to the Red Sea, miraculously opening the waters, miraculously drying up the seabed. Let's never forget that, so that the children of Israel could go through dry shod. But I want to speak to you for a few minutes just now on an event that the minds of multitudes of people throughout the world at this time of the year are drawn to. And that event is the advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. When He came to this world somewhere around 2,000 years ago, what an event that was. And I want to talk to you about it for a while from verse 11 and verse 12. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. There are three things I want to draw your attention to with regard to it. And that is, first of all, the majesty that it possesses. I want you to think about that. Take that little word, he, in verse 11. He came, we're told, but think of the word he. And we can see the majesty that this advent possesses when we look at the person whose advent it was. He, keep that in mind. Who is the he here? Well, if you look at verse 1 to 3, you'll get some detail. In the beginning was the Word. There's his identity. He's called the Word here. And the Word has got a capital W, something very significant, something very important about him. And we are told in verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So there's no misunderstanding who the Word is. It's none other than the Lord Jesus, none other than the Son of God. This is his identity, the Word making known the mind of God to us. But then notice his eternity in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, ever before a beginning began, the Lord Jesus Christ was there. Before there ever was time, the Lord Jesus is the eternal Word of God, and he is the eternal Son of God. You see his identity, you see his eternity, and you see his deity. Notice the word again in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So this shows you the luster, the splendor, the majesty of this advent that we are considering, when the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. But notice not only the person whose advent it is that shows the majesty, but I want you to think of the phenomena that was associated with it. Back in Luke chapter 2, I'll not ask you to turn to it because of the time factor, but in verses 8 to 14 of Luke 2, you have the appearing of the angels to the shepherds. Those men were keeping their flocks in the dead of night and in the darkness of the night, when suddenly the heavens, the sky lit up, and it brought fear to them. The angel of the Lord appeared, and the Bible says, the glory of the Lord shone round about. Think of that scene. Think of the majesty there, when the glory of the Lord shone round about, lighting up the darkness of the night, and it caused fear and dread to those shepherds. And then we read in another verse there, in that section I've referred to, Luke chapter 2, 8 to 14, verse 13 says this, suddenly there appeared with the angel of the Lord a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, isn't that majesty? A majestic event this advent of Christ was, no doubt. Whenever we come to the Christmas season, just don't think of a stable, though it's important to do that. Don't just think of a poor couple, the woman of which gave birth to the babe. It's important to think of that, but don't stop there. Don't even stop at the little helpless babe, if I may use that term concerning him at this stage. But think of who he is. We've already seen that the Word of God says here that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we are told that Paul, writing to Timothy in the first letter, said, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. That little babe there is none other than God, the second person of the Godhead. And that's what tells us something of the majesty of this event. The majesty that the advent possessed. And then I want you to notice, secondly, the adversity that the advent encountered. Notice, if you will, verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now, there are two things that highlight the adversity that the advent of Christ encountered. First of all, the shamefulness of it. Shamefulness of this adversity. The shamefulness lies in this. The Bible says in verse 11 that he was not received. I want you to think of that. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. This person, who is one of the Trinity, as we have seen, this person that was the center of heaven's attraction, even that night in Bethlehem long ago, that the angelic hosts come down, the angel of the Lord come down, the sky lit up with the glory of God, yet he's not received. They received him not. He's the Creator. He's the one whom the Bible says he upholdeth all things by the word of his power. And the word of God also says that by him all things consist. And yet they received him not. The shamefulness of his lies and the fact of who he was who was rejected. But not only who he was that was not received, but when you think of the mission upon which he came and was sent and then was rejected, that adds to the shamefulness of it. The angels that night said to the shepherds, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Whenever he was about to be born, the angel appeared to Joseph and said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And yet the Savior, this Messiah, was not received. He said himself, whenever he exercised his public ministry, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. He said, the thief cometh not but for to kill and to destroy, but I am come that ye might have life and that ye might have it more abundantly. That's the one who was not received. The shamefulness of this adversity. But notice the source of it. We are told that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. That exacerbates the adversity to this advent. He came unto his own race. What an honor was put upon the Jewish race that would be God's Messiah, who would be a blessing to them and also a blessing to the world. And yet when he came on to his own race, he was rejected by them. And yet they were expecting the Messiah to come. They were favored above all the nations of the world. Listen to what God says in the book of Amos chapter 3. You only have I known of all the nations of the earth. He says that when he's speaking of the word know in an intimate sense. He knows everything. But he says, I know you intimately. And personally, above all the nations that are in the world. It was these people that first of all witnessed his mighty miracles, heard the gracious words that protruded from his mouth. And yet they received him not. And eventually they crucified him on the cross. They were responsible for that. A nation that was favored by the attestation of his miracles or of his deity by his miracles. One who was so kind to them, who healed their sick, who raised their dead, who fed their hungry on occasion. Yet, they received him not. Ladies and gentlemen and young people, where do you stand in this today? Because we're thinking of this very same message. And he has come not only to Jews, but he has come to Gentiles. He has come to you and me. What have you done with him as he has presented himself? Have you received him not? Are you rejecting him? When you think of his power, when you think of his love, when you think of his atoning death on the cross at Calvary for sinners to save us and his rising from the dead. But the fact that he has come, the fact of his advent, since we're thinking of that particularly, how do you stand in relation to that? Can you be numbered among those that received him not? You said that I'm not adverse to him. I'm not in opposition. My dear hearer, if you have not received him, there is no neutrality. If you haven't received him, you're rejecting him. You're against him. You're opposed to him and his will and his way. I want you to think about that. Not only do we have in these words about the advent of Christ the majesty that it possesses and the adversity that it encounters, but lastly, the opportunity that it presents. Notice verse 12. But, well, we read verse 11 and really get the contrast here. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. What an opportunity. There was an opportunity for Jews, and they did, some of them took it. There was an opportunity for the world whenever the apostles went out on the Great Commission, and multitudes took that opportunity. And in our day and age, there are people all over the world taking that opportunity. What about you, my dear unsaved hearer? Would you not avail yourself of the opportunity now that the Lord Jesus has come to present himself as the Messiah, the Savior? Let me say a few things about this great opportunity that the advent of Christ presents to us. First of all, there's an opportunity for you to make a positive response to it. It's put in the words here, receive him and believe on his name. Both things mean the one thing. To receive him means, as it were, now this is Christmas, isn't it? Lots of gifts are being given and received. And the people to whom a gift is brought will receive it. They take it. And God has provided salvation in the person and work of his Son, and he's offering it to you. Would you not receive it? Would you not take Christ to be your Savior today? The other word is believe. Believe means to trust. Receive means to take. Believe means to trust. Would you not trust him? Would you not yield your life to him in soul dependence? Let me tell you two stories very quickly to illustrate the take and the trust. The first one concerned a little boy in a mission hall in London. A little street urchin came into the meeting one night. He was used to coming in to children's meetings, but he came into the Sunday night mission hall service. And the missionary was doing his best to illustrate that salvation was open to anyone who would receive it. Whosoever, he said. And he emphasized, whosoever. And he put his hand in his pocket and he pulled out a sixpenny piece. Now you children, and some of you older people wouldn't remember what a tanner was, but some of us can. Sixpenny piece, a little shiny silver coin, smaller than the 5p piece today. But he held out his hand with a sixpenny piece in it, and he said, look, he said, I have sixpence here. Whoever wants it, come and take it. And nobody budged. And the poor missionary says, I'm not getting through to them at all. But there was a shuffle of feet, and from the back of the hall, this little urchin came up, and he stood in front of the pulpit, and he held out his grubby little hand. And he says, please, sir, can I have that? And the missionary looked at him and said, I never called your name. Why did you come up? He says, you didn't call my name, sir, but you did say, whosoever, and that includes me. And the missionary gladly gave him the sixpence. He received it. And you can receive the salvation the Lord Jesus is offering today. The other story concerns another little lad. He was the son of the captain of a ship, and he had a pet monkey. And one day the monkey scampered away from him, climbed up the mast, and got up to the main truck, and the young fellow who was used to climbing the mast, he climbed up after it, and he was about to pull himself onto the main truck, and the wee monkey just took a jump to the mast on the other side, and the young fellow didn't know what to do, and he tried to get down, and he realized, because the ship was moving about from one side to the other, he wasn't going to get his feet back into the rigging. And the sailors below saw what was happening, told his father, and the father
just wear up the situation immediately. He says he's not going to hold on any longer, and if he falls, he's going to be mangled on the deck. And he said to one of the soldiers, give me your pistol. And the soldier wondered what he was going to do, or the sailor wondered what he was going to do, took the pistol out, and the captain said, son, I've got a pistol in my hand. I'm going to shoot if you don't let go whenever I tell you to let go. Now, the wee fellow was always used to obeying his dad, and he knew that his dad never broke his word. And he said, if he's going to shoot me, if he says he's going to shoot me, he will shoot me. And the captain had it sized up well. Whenever the ship went to one side, the young fellow, if he dropped, would miss the deck, and he would go right into the water. That's what he was counting on. And he said, right, son, when I say let go or else. And the captain, what seemed like an eternity, was just about 3-4 seconds. He said, let go. And the young fellow just let go immediately, missed the deck and came into the water, and there were the strong hands of those burly sailors to rescue him. That's trusting. That's what that young fellow did. He trusted the word of his father. He believed that the father meant good by it. And you've got to trust the word of the Father today when he says, if you trust my son, you'll be saved. The Lord Jesus said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What an opportunity the advent of the Lord Jesus Christ presents. Will you seize it today? Don't let this Christmas season go by and you miss all of this. Oh, yes, it's great for family to be together. Yes, there's this nice time when we sing the carols. It's to be enjoyed. But don't miss the reason for the season. Don't fail to see the significance of the advent of Christ. You've got your opportunity to make a positive response. And there's something else about this opportunity. You can enter into a privileged rank. For as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. A son of God, an heir of heaven, a joint heir with Christ, to enter into the inheritance of heaven and glory one day. Don't miss the opportunity. Receive the Son of God now. Let us pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank thee that thou didst come into this world. We've been thinking about that for a while. Thank you for the majesty and splendor that was associated with it. We thank you for the fact that there's an opportunity for thee to be received, that thou art still giving us that opportunity. May it be seized today. And may there not be the adversity to thee that you encountered during your days on earth that eventually took you to the cross at Calvary. We just thank thee, Lord Jesus, for coming for us, for dying for us on the cross, for rising again. Oh, let there be room in our hearts for thee today. In thy holy name, we ask these things. Amen.